Welcome, everyone. As you join us today, we want to invite you to slow down for a moment and step into a well, a very contemplative space.
Absolutely. We are so glad you are here with us.
Today, we are exploring a truly powerful Sunday morning message. It was titled Christ and the Law, and it was delivered by Brother Steve on Mother's Day.
Right. That was May 10th, 2026. And the setting of that service is actually really important to keep in mind as we begin.
It is. The service started off by honoring mothers, recognizing them as the very embodiment of selflessness.
Which is such a beautiful picture. I mean, mothers are so often the first ones to instill biblical values in us, you know? They demonstrate what it means to lay down your life for someone else.
Exactly. But that focus on genuine selfless love, it wasn't just a nice holiday observance. It was actually the stage for a very difficult truth that Brother Steve was about to preach.
Right. Because navigating today's world, a world that feels incredibly dark right now, it requires more than just looking good on the outside.
It requires a righteousness that actually exceeds the religious elites of Jesus' day. And that brings us to the central tension we want to examine today.
We will be looking at the stark difference between two very different things. First, the superficial righteousness of the Pharisees, which, you know, looked perfect to the human eye.
Right. And then second, the absolute heart-level holiness that God actually requires of us. And, how we could ever possibly attain it.
It is a profound theme. And to really grasp it, I think we need to move from that foundational love of mothers we just mentioned to what should be the foundational practice of every single believer.
You are talking about this secret place, the private prayer life.
Absolutely. And during the service, there was a specific moment that highlighted this perfectly.
Right. Let me clarify the order of things there because it was so impactful. Nathan Coleman actually came forward first. He brought a special word and a song focused on the closet of prayer.
Based on Matthew chapter 6, verse 6.
Exactly. Praying to the Father in secret, so he will reward you openly.
Oh.
But, and this is key, it was actually Brother Steve who later shared an incredible real-world story to illustrate that scripture.
And what a story it was. Truly remarkable. He spoke about a construction worker living in Clovis, New Mexico.
A man who was building his own home from the ground up, right?
Yes. And as he was laying out the floor plan, he intentionally built this tiny prayer closet right into the center of the house.
But he didn't just frame some drywall and put a door on it.
No, he didn't. He adorned the entire interior of this hidden room with 24-karat gold leaf.
It is astounding to even picture that.
Lit by just a single light bulb. I mean, he designed a room fit for a king, knowing full well that no earthly guest would ever, ever be invited inside to see it.
That psychology is so entirely counter to human nature, isn't it? I mean, we naturally crave recognition. If we build something beautiful, we want people to admire it.
We want the applause. But this humble construction worker went into that golden room every single day, completely unseen, and prayed a very simple, repetitive prayer.
He simply prayed, Lord, use me today for your kingdom. That was it.
Just use me. And the fruit of that hidden prayer life is what is so staggering. Because of that one man's unseen obedience in Clovis, New Mexico, a Christian school was built.
Which then led to another school being built.
Right. Ultimately educating thousands of children in a Christian environment, thousands of kids shaped for the Lord, all birthed from a secret room no one was allowed to see.
It makes me think of, reminds me of the foundation of a house. In a dark world, everyone wants to admire the exterior architecture.
The public actions, right. The things people can see and praise.
Exactly. We admire the paint and the windows. But the structural integrity of that house completely depends on the foundation that was poured in the dark.
In the dirt, where no one ever looks.
Right. True Christian impact isn't born from public grandstanding. It comes from that intimate, consistent communication with God in the dark.
Because that closet of prayer, that is where our desires are actually changed. It changes our motivations. It is where the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated.
Which brings us to the complete opposite of that construction worker. If he represents genuine internal devotion, then the scribes and Pharisees represent the exact opposite.
The illusion of devotion.
Right. Brother Steve took the church to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, and Jesus issued a warning there that is just, well, it is sobering.
He said that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, we will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.
And the Pharisees, They were the religious heavyweights of their day. They looked completely flawless.
Mm-hmm.
But Brother Steve broke down four fatal flaws in their righteousness.
Let's examine those, because they are so critical for us today. The first flaw was that their righteousness was entirely external.
Right. They looked perfect on the outside, but inside they were rotten. Jesus talked about them washing the outside of the cup, but completely ignoring the inside.
Because managing your outward behavior is so much easier than allowing God to change your heart.
It is. And the second flaw was that their righteousness was partial. They would tie these tiny things, like mint and anise and cumin,
down to the exact leaf.
Exactly. But they entirely neglected the weightier matters, like justice, mercy, and faith.
They focused on the measurable metrics they could control to avoid the messy vulnerability that true mercy requires.
And that leads to the third flaw. Their righteousness was redefined. Because God's actual internal laws were too hard, they substituted their own traditions.
They lowered the bar so they could easily jump over it.
Right. And finally, the fourth flaw. Their righteousness was incredibly self-centered. They genuinely believed they could save themselves by their own works.
Brother Steve reminded us of the Pharisee who stood in the temple boasting and thanking God that he wasn't like the extortioner or the tax collector next to him.
He measured his holiness just by comparing himself to other fallen people. But I want to ask a probing question here, if we can pause on this point.
Absolutely.
Isn't it true that modern believers fall into this exact same trap? I mean, we get very comfortable focusing on the mint and cumin.
Things like showing up to church on Sunday or putting some money in the offering plate.
Right. We do those outward things, but we might be harboring deep bitterness or excusing our own habitual private sins. We think because we do the external stuff, we are fine.
It is a terrifying trap, and I completely agree. Brother Steve actually warned the congregation about this very thing. Even devout Christians sometimes accommodate their own unholiness.
We let the enemy convince us that our sin is just a normal struggle, and it is acceptable because we are, you know, good church people.
Satan lies to us. He tells us that ritual religion adapted to fit our own comfortable lifestyles is enough. But that kind of religion leads nowhere.
It just inoculates us against actual grace. And stripping away that false comfort, the comfort of doing just enough, it forces us to face God's actual standard.
Which is terrifyingly high.
It is. Brother Steve highlighted Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and Matthew 5, verse 48. The command is simple, but impossible. Be perfect. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Perfection. Not just being slightly better than the person sitting in the pew next to you. Absolute perfection.
And when you realize that, you realize that no flesh can be justified by the works of the law. Just as Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 tells us.
We cannot pull ourselves up by our spiritual bootstraps. It is impossible.
Right. Brothers could have actually shared something deeply personal here that really illustrates this. He admitted that before he knew Christ, he was addicted to drugs and alcohol.
Yes, his testimony was so powerful.
He said he was a poor husband and a poor father. But, and this is the crazy part, he still thought he was a good guy who was going to heaven.
Because he was judging himself by his own redefined human standard.
Exactly. Trying to meet God's standard with our own goodness is, well, it is like trying to reach the moon with a ladder.
That is a great way to picture it.
You know, it doesn't matter if your ladder is slightly taller than your neighbor's ladder. You both fall infinitely short of the moon.
You fall completely short of the glory of God. And that impossible standard is exactly why the good news is so beautiful.
It is. We are made righteous only by faith in Jesus Christ, as Romans 3:21 says.
Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Our salvation is a gift. It is not a wage we earn.
And the church actually got to see a beautiful, real-world manifestation of this grace at the very end of the service.
They certainly did. A young woman named Addie came forward.
After 3 whole years of attending, she finally stepped forward to accept Jesus Christ.
Truly remarkable. And Dan and Chrissy were welcomed into the fellowship as well. Brother Steve made a comment about that. He said, this is why old preachers keep on preaching.
Right. For just one more soul, just one more person experiencing that grace.
Because when grace takes hold, it changes you internally. Psalm 45, verse 13 says, the king's daughter is all glorious within.
All glorious within, not just painted beautifully on the outside.
Exactly. The goal isn't to stop trying to be obedient. But we have to recognize that our obedience is a response to grace. It is not the purchase price of our salvation.
It is the thank you note, not the currency. So for you listening right now, as you navigate this dark world we are living in, We want to leave you with a core lesson from this message.
Do not be satisfied with your spiritual walk.
Right. If you are still here, if you are not yet glorified in heaven, then you are not yet perfect. You have to keep hungering and thirsting for true righteousness.
We must actively cultivate that secret place of prayer, just like the man in Clovis, and we must rely entirely on God's grace rather than some redefined partial checklist of good deeds.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you go about your week. Think about that hidden golden room.
The space where no one else could see.
If someone were to examine only your hidden life, the thoughts you entertain when you are alone, the private prayers you pray, the secret moments when no one is watching, would they find the true source of your public faith? Or would they just find an empty room waiting for an audience?
It is a profound question to search our hearts with.
It really is. Thank you for joining us for this time of reflection. We encourage you to keep seeking the light.